Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. New year, new decade. Be future ready with Zurich, the power behind your pension.
Now, last week on the programme, you may remember we focused on the environmental and economic cost of Ireland becoming the home of so many data centres, 54 currently, another 31 in the pipeline. For the most part, they're anonymous, they're hard to find on a map, but perhaps the most well-known is one that won't now get built in spite of having received planning permission. The Apple data centre, planned for Athenry, became the focus of a very divisive campaign locally. The objectors lost their court challenge and Apple moved elsewhere due to the delays in securing planning permission. But as Philip Boucher-Hayes reports, time may well have proved the points that the objectors were trying to make.
I think everyone thought they were coming to the town of Athenry and to our IDA park. We have 97 hectares of a land bank, and it would have been a nice addition to the town. It would have been development for Athenry. That land is actually quite close to my property. I can see it from my back window.
Alan Daly is not your usual kind of objector. He wanted the Apple data centre to come to Athenry. His wife called him a PIMBY. Please, in my backyard.
You know, when we purchased this property, we knew something might go there and it could have been a data centre. So, we supported plan-led development and, you know, development close to the town.
I know this is a little bit confusing. Alan wanted the data centre to come to Athenry, but Alan ended up in the Supreme Court objecting to the planning permission giving it the go-ahead. He felt that the national downside outweighed the local good, and he became the public face of opposition to what was locally a very popular project.
But delays upon delays have seen Apple pull the plug, and today the town is devastated.
Athenry is only an example of what our national laws are doing to us and what our judicial system is doing to us. And now we've lost $1 billion investment.
Would the data centre have done Athenry some good? Undoubtedly. Would it also have had the detrimental impact that Alan suggested in his objection? Yes, is the answer that we can give with the benefit of a little hindsight. Alan's objection identified a long list of negative impacts, most of which centred around the amount of electricity that the facility was going to use.
Apple's addition was going to be 6 or 7% of what the entire Republic of Ireland is using right now.
One plant was going to be consuming or adding another 7% to the electricity bill.
Yes, in their full build-out.
Alan consulted other environmental engineering colleagues back in the States to see if he was right, and that was the experience there too.
And that's what we see from all of these hyperscale data centers. They move the needle independently by several percent per data center.
Such a huge chunk of extra power demand going to just one plant was going to have a significant knock-on effect on Ireland's ability to reach its renewable energy target of 40%.
At any given time, there's just a finite number of wind turbines operating. And when you add a big demand source without adding any supply on the supply side, of course, that percentage goes down, the percentage of renewable energy.
And a failure to reach that 40% target would carry a fine from Brussels. Would Apple be contributing towards paying that fine? No, they wouldn't. Would Apple also be paying for the electricity infrastructure that they needed? Each data centre needs its own electricity substation. Do they pay for it? No, not all of it.
It's my understanding that data centres pay half of the cost of what they call their shallow connection to the grid. You know, one question that should be asked is why aren't data centers paying the full cost, the full connection cost of their substations?
Because nobody else is benefiting from that substation.
Right. It benefits them and them alone.
Airgrid confirmed to me today that it still picks up 50% of the bill for the basic model of substation required by any new data center. The North-South Interconnector is, in some circles, a very unpopular 138-kilometre-long string of pylons. When it was initially proposed, it was explained to the public that it was necessary to power Ireland's growing data centre sector. That's a claim that has since been dropped from the publicity material. But it raises a point for Alan about the extent to which public infrastructure is being piggybacked on by private companies.
So the North-South Interconnector, there should be paying a portion of that. Other projects, if you look at Airgrid's capital plan for maintaining the grid, you'll see that there are billions in projects that are scheduled or have already been completed to maintain the national grid. And I think that data centers, you know, should be paying their fair share.
Alan never really had a platform to explain his objections in this kind of detail. In most news reports, they were just broadly described as environmental. Many people in Athenry became angry about Alan's objection standing in the way of what they saw as a $1 billion investment.
Emotions were running high in the town as people vented their upset, anger and frustration.
The hierarchy of this country, be it the judicial system or the politicians, it want to get their act together. By all means, let people have objections, but let's deal with them in a timely manner. And I'm absolutely disgusted.
But with the passage of time and experts from the fields of engineering and environmental science turning their minds to the impact of data centres, much of what Alan said back then has been borne out. Data centres will consume a third of all of our electricity in just 8 years' time. There will be 1.5 million tonnes minimum additional carbon dioxide as a result. There will also be a multi-billion euro investment in the national grid, which arguably data centres won't be paying their fair share of.
Effectively, the national grid will be 30% serving data centres. Then, you know, we've effectively privatised a third of the national grid for, you know, several dozen particular customers.
And what are we getting out of this? What's the quid pro quo here? Jobs? Well, data supports 37,000 jobs in the tech sector indirectly. But on the other hand, directly in the data centres, if the international experience holds true, there's not very many jobs at all.
My estimate was about 50. That's what Apple has announced for other plants.
Other countries aren't shy about imposing planning conditions on data centres that we just never seem to ask for.
Waste heat recovery, which can be utilised in a district heating system. We've seen that in Denmark.
Or in Iowa. A thank you from the data company to the local community for playing host to their highly profitable enterprise.
They had basically said, as a mitigation element, we're going to establish a $100 million community investment fund. Yet we didn't require that for our data centers here. Maybe we should be.
Alan lost his case on a narrow point of law rather than the big climate picture. The judge said that Onboard Planola had considered the climate change implications of the planning permission. Alan believes that they considered them, but only superficially. The assessment of other experts since then is broadly that Alan is right. But since his case, the government moved to prevent any but a small group of immediately affected people from objecting to large-scale projects like this one. Since Alan's objection was dismissed, the data industry now boasts of a 6-month turnaround from planning application to turning the sod.
There's probably a danger there that we need to be a little more considerate and give a little bit more time, especially for public participation. That always seems to be the what's squeezed. The focus always goes back onto the, quote, objectors and the public participation process. We need to protect that and preserve it and not shorten it and attack it.
That was Philip Boucher-Hayes reporting there.